It's 3 or 4 days now since the Italian cruise liner ploughed into the island of Giglio off the Italian coast. I haven't been to Giglio for donkey's years. I used to go over there in the early 70s when I was skipper of a yacht sailing out of Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat. It's a lovely little place. Sound separates it from the Italian mainland, and that sound is pretty wide. It's an awful lot wider than the Solent for any sailors who sail here, and awful lot wider. It's a perfectly safe place, really, for a ship to navigate through. It's an interesting decision that they should pass through there rather than passing outside the island. I've plotted the courses between where they started out from and where they were headed. And really, there's only 4 or 5 miles difference if you pass outside Giglio and I think outside Elba as well, which would take you well clear of all possible danger. So they could have done that, but I understand why they would want to go through the sounds. Hey, it's slightly closer, but also I think it'd be a more pretty trip. It'd be lovely in the night or in the daytime for the passengers to look out at that glorious coastline going by in the wonder of the Mediterranean light or the towns lit up in the darkness. I see why they did it, and I would support that. What absolutely staggers me is that they could have ended up on the bricks on Giglio. It's just completely baffles my brain. And what frustrates me enormously, as a seaman, and I'm sure many people listening to this will feel the same, it always happens. There's some sort of maritime disaster. In go the news reporters, and all we get is stories of people screaming and, oh, there was panic. There's always panic, isn't there? Well, I expect there probably was, but this is all we get. We never find out what happened. Why? What went wrong? Okay, I expect there'll be an inquiry, of course, which will ascertain this, but we aren't even getting any quick comments from anybody. Well, actually, the GPS went down and nobody knew how to take a bearing. Or, well, there seems to have been some suggestion that maybe there was some catastrophic electrical failure which knocked everything out. Well, how can it possibly be that there can be no backup for a steering system when there's some sort of electrical failure? I find that unbelievable. I remember once I was on a very large container ship indeed, one of the biggest, coming up into Southampton. I'd gone on board with the pilot, and we were heading up past the Nab Tower in the Nab Channel towards the Spithead and Eastern Solent approach to Southampton. And as we went past the Nab Tower, there was a quiet ring on the bell, and news came up to the captain that the main engine had stopped. Well, I can't believe how calm the atmosphere was on the bridge of that British ship. Nobody even twitched an eyebrow. The pilot, I think, said something like, well, how long can we maintain steerage? And the captain gave him a reply. We all had a cup of tea. The captain looked at the charts, and we continued steering. The crewman at the helm continued steering. He didn't bat an eyelid. And the whole thing continued until about 5 minutes later. The engines came back on again. What had happened, I don't know, but well, the impressive thing was the way people reacted and how there was clearly backup when something had gone wrong. It's unbelievable that with all the safety precautions we now have and the nonsense that we all have to go through in order to make our boats allegedly safe, nobody had put any sort of backup on the ship to cope with that situation, if indeed that is what happened. But, of course, we wait to see, don't we? If it was anything else, if it was an electronic navigation failure of some sort, well, it would be quite nice if they'd looked out the window, wouldn't it? So there you are. Meanwhile, the skipper's taking it in the throat. There has to be a scapegoat, and I don't like the look of his immediate future. I don't know whether to say poor chap or not, because we don't know what the situation is yet, but it's interesting that they've all jumped on him like a ton of bricks. Tragic that people should die. That's the real terrible thing, that with all this astonishing technology that we now have, that a ship of that nature can go through there, make a mistake like that, whether it was a technical mistake or a human mistake, doesn't really matter. The fact is, it did happen. It's absolutely intolerable that it should happen today. There can be no possible excuse. Somebody somewhere should have had a system in place for dealing with it, and somebody on the bridge should have looked out the window. So, there we are. Meanwhile, in my life, things are a little bit easier than that. My boat's up in North Wales, having a new deck put on. She's there, she went up on the truck. It was a painless operation, run by Terry the trucker and his mate. Up she went into the shed, not a mark on her. What professionalism. What a joy to see these guys operate, I must say. Shoreline Transport, it was, from Chichester, who did the job. And Barry and the boys up at TLC in Conwy were there to receive her. I don't know what magic they performed, but between them they put her in the shed, and there she sits. The deck's coming off, and the great news is that in spite of all the curmudgeons and the doomsayers, we've found no horrors under the deck. So far, the sub-deck seems to be in good condition. It's a balsa sandwich, end grain balsa, and the fear, of course, was that damp would have tracked down the fastenings, of which there are many, got into the balsa, which would have rotted out, and doom and gloom would have been my portion, plus, of course, incipient bankruptcy for somebody. Not the case. All is well. The chaps at Tarshing who built the boat did a phenomenal job. Barry's very impressed with how strong she is. They love the boat. And, well, everybody's very happy. So there she sits by the roaring Conwy River, which achieves 7 knots on the spring ebb as it goes under the bridge under the medieval castle. What a sight that is! And behind it, the mountains where King Arthur dreams, Snowdonia, climbing into the sky. What a place. Absolutely powerful, and an absolute joy to have my boat there. So there we are. We'll see what happens. I'll report shortly. Try and make these blogs a bit more frequent, actually. Somebody's been cracking the whip, and I will make the effort. So hang in, visit me again soon, and meanwhile, fair winds, and let's see what really happened in Italy.